This archived podcast is the sole property of the producer of said podcast. It is available for private, non-commercial use only. You may not edit, modify, or redistribute this podcast.
Welcome to the Remnant Radio Hour. This is Nisa Moshe for Remnant Remedy. And tonight I'm really excited because this is the beginning of the Linen Lovers series. And this is where we're living and learning a restoration lifestyle. Well, what kind of restoration are we looking for? Of course, we're looking for restoration of Israel and God's people and Yahweh to come and return to deliver his people. But I'm going to be dealing with people who are specially called to a facet of rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle. And tonight I have a special guest, Cindy Suhi from Salem, Oregon. Are you there, Cindy?
Hi, Nitza. I'm here.
Awesome. And so, Cindy, you are in Salem, Oregon, correct?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am. It's been raining all day.
Well, I am in sunny Golden, Colorado.
Oh my goodness.
And of course, normally I do this remote from Montana, but today I am at a training here on frequency and biofeedback. And so I'm just so glad for this technology to be able to do this. And we are going to learn about Miss Cindy today. And Cindy, you have a website. You want to tell everyone about that?
Yes, I would be excited to. My website is called coveredinlinen.com. That's coveredinlinen.com.
Okay. And I know that you're still working on that website. And just, you know, let me put a plug here. It is very difficult. And I think this is a problem that a lot of people in ministry or, you know, have cottage industries have a problem with. But especially when you're dealing with this kind of stuff is, like, you're really gifted in creating linen garments and knitting and sewing hemp and cotton stuff. But we're not computer experts.
Boy, is that the truth.
And yes, so it takes a lot of work and time. And if there's anybody out there who would like to help, then I'm sure that she would take volunteers. That's, I know that Remnant Remedy would not exist without volunteers when it comes to the internet. So I am really, really blessed that way. I've got a gentleman from Jews and Joes, and I've got Posey, and so I am just really blessed. So please be patient with her. And one thing I would like to encourage you out there is contact Cindy. And Cindy, was that the best way to contact you, is through coveredinlinen.com?
Yes, that would be great. And I can also share my telephone number if people would like that as well.
Yeah. Go right ahead.
Yeah, it's 503-884-0482. So either Cynthia@coveredinlinen.com or 503-884-0482. And that'll
find you. And especially for those of you, I mean, you could call from all over the country or wherever to order from her, but especially if you're in the Salem, Portland, Seattle area,
Eugene.
You know. Eugene. Mm-hmm. And now you go to Restoration Fellowship, is that correct?
I do. That's my family there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
which is right there and part of Hebrew Nation Radio.
It is. Mm-hmm. Yep, Don and Cindy Wyant.
All right.
Absolutely. Yep.
Wonderful place and wonderful people in ministry.
Absolutely.
All right. So why don't you tell us how did you discover and come to love linen?
Oh, Nitza, well, your name comes to mind first, through you, actually. I heard you speak at the first She Brews conference in Canby a couple years ago, and learning about linen from you just lit the spark in me. Then as a very new Torah keeper, I was brand new in crossing over to the Hebrew lifestyle. I began to see for the first time in my life, and I am not young, that our Father Yahweh actually commanded us to wear linen. The Father, through his Ruach, ignited that flame in me, and I've just been passionate about sewing linen garments, making linen hats and snoods, and crocheting, mostly because I'm not a knitter, I have to admit, but crocheting hats and snoods and different things with linen.
Right now, I think I saw you at She Brews and Sukkot the last couple of years since that yes. started, and you have those snoots available there at those conferences. Are you doing any other conferences or places where people can come to your stuff?
I would love to be invited. Absolutely. I don't know too much about what's out there. I did do a couple of bazaars around Hanukkah time, and that was local. But yeah, I would be most happy to come and bring my things. Yeah. So it was very well received.
Yes, absolutely. And I got, I got some of your linen hats, and we're going to talk a little bit. Maybe we want to do that now. One of the great things you make is nida pads, or we call them leaf pads for the older women.
Yes.
Sorry about that, guys. I mean, they would be great, you know, if you were hunting and got a pup too. I mean, you might need some gauze or something, but it's, you know, tell us a little bit about that so that people could know that they're available and the hats and stuff that you do.
Okay, well, let's see. I make, like I said, crocheted snoods.
People snoods. You know, we might have a lot of young ladies who have no idea what a snood is.
Right, right. Yes, a snood is like a fancy hairnet, basically. But they can be very, very fancy. They can be plain. I make them just however Father leads my hands when I sit down to crochet. So I do make the snoots, and they're like I said, they're just like fancy hairnets. They keep your hair out of the way. And with the linen, I noticed that with my fabric snoots, it's very nice at wicking away any perspiration. It just feels so good to wear them, and keeps your head cool. Also warm if it's cold outside, but, Yeah. So I make clothing. I pretty much sew clothing for myself at this point. I've made two linen tunic and pants sets that I love to wear on Shabbat. And I find that when I wear linen, I feel more balanced, more at peace. For some reason, I just feel good when I wear it. And I make slips and nightgowns and pajamas and skirts and
well, now you make some linen headbands too.
I do have headbands.
I love to wear them.
Yes.
I've got your linen headband.
Yeah, I do wear headbands. I have all kinds of different hair accessories.
Now these are crochet.
Yes,
right?
They are.
The ones that I have. And so they have a pretty design and cover.
Yeah, I have some with combs on either side, and you just ladies can just keep their hair up and kind of neatly out of the way with those, and they're decorative, but they're definitely linen. I've had all the linen that I've ever purchased tested for purity, and so I can say
at
that
a Jewish lab, right?
Yes, at a Jewish lab. Yeah, and so our sister Riv Kasari has helped me with that. And so what I make is pure 100% linen.
Yeah. And I do encourage everyone to check out the artist, RivKasari.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
She's been a wonderful help in teaching and helping us. And you have fibromyalgia.
I do.
You said. And so, you know, a lot of people don't really understand unless, you know, not everybody notices this, but a lot of people that wear linen or sleep in linen really do notice the difference.
There is a difference. I feel it's just a more balanced, peaceful, and I really believe in my mind and my heart that it helps with some of the pain. Doesn't make it go away at all, but it does help. So, yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
but one of the things,
wonderful.
One of the things that first got my attention about linen that made me really pay attention was the anti-static properties. Mm-hmm. Because where I live, especially in the wintertime, I can't go anywhere without getting in and out of my car without getting shocked the very first thing when I get out. Mm-hmm. And so that really made me pay attention. And what I've noticed, and I've even when I teach sometimes, I think the first time I taught at Canby at Cove, I was talking about the frequency and the energy and how your body, you know, builds up static. And this is why a lot of people might contribute to their headaches or their aches and pains.
Right.
So I had a lady leave and change her, I think she had some kind of polyester, some kind of hat on. And she went out and I think she either put on 100% linen or 100% wool hat. And mm-hmm. her headache went away.
I believe it. Yeah, I believe it. I've experienced that as well.
And another thing that a lot of people, even if you're wearing linen, if you wear too much synthetic socks or shoes, it can really stop that electricity flowing through your body. And, you know, remember that the number one way that your body communicates cell to cell is via electricity through the spinal cord and, you know, through the nervous system, basically. And so when we get staticky and we're wearing, you know, polyester and some of the other different fabrics that aren't natural and right. and more healthy for the body, or you know, maybe when we mix linen with wool like we're not supposed to. And that's one of the things I'm hoping to learn where I'm at is how we can actually get the machine so that we can start testing, you know, what we have heard and learned that if you mix linen with wool, which both have supposedly a 5,000 signature frequency, that when you mix them, they collapse.
Mm-hmm. They cancel each other out. Is that correct?
That's what we've been told. And so we want to, what I've been praying is that we're going to find the tools to be able to really say, yeah, this works. What happens when we put, you know, what does happen when we put, say, a linen sheet on top of a bed, you know, because most beds are made out of all kinds of fibers that aren't, you know, really good for us. And so that's the reason why I put a 100% cotton blanket between my bed and my sheet. And so, you know, there's these questions, you know. I believe that our sister from Judah, Yehuda, teaches us that you can lay wool over linen. You just can't, you know, loop it because
right.
of that
mm-hmm.
a seam mm-hmm. or a stitch or a mixing.
Yeah, that would be mixing it, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so it would be cool to measure that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It would. Absolutely. Well, I use cotton thread in a lot of mine. Still maintains its 100% linen, but what with 100% natural cotton thread, but I also do so with linen thread as well.
Right. So and let's just talk about that for a minute. Okay. You know, I like to use 100% linen thread, but sometimes, like, especially if you're doing embroidery, and you want a set apart garment, then you need to have plan on plant. So if we had linen with cotton or linen and hemp, we would be okay from what we understand from our brothers and sisters in Judah scriptures. Mm-hmm. That you can mix plant with plant, but it's when you mix that animal fiber with the plant fiber that we begin to have a problem. And right. some people, and most people, I think it depends on their sewing machine. Their machines can't really handle linen thread because it has little slugs.
Right, right. But I've kind of worked around that though, Nitza. I use the larger eye top stitching needles in my machine. And I have a Janome machine that and it works quite well. When I made my first tunic and pant outfit, I did make it with 100% linen thread as well. And I think that my thread only broke about two or three times in making the entire garment. And
right.
then I also top stitched it with some thread that I had gotten through you, the linen thread. And it feels good to wear it. It just really does. But yeah, some machines don't handle the thread very well because of those slubs.
Now, I have a FAF, and I have a quilter FAF, and I think it's a performance. I can't remember the names. And they handle linen fine, but even the machines that can, you know, when you're dealing with linen, you're going to get, because it's a natural fiber, you're going to get a lot of what?
Yeah.
It's going to build up slugs, you know what I mean? And you're going to get a lot of stuff. So you need to clean out your vomit.
Yes, yes.
You're going to get that natural fuzz.
Uh-huh.
And actually, when I wash my linen the first time, the fabric, before I go to sew, I will save the linen in the filter in the dryer because I want to pre-shrink, you know, before I go to sew.
Right,
and
right.
I save that for stuffing for like making little things or linen pillows, you know what I mean?
What a great idea. I didn't think to save it.
Because it's going to filter all that lint out, you know what
that's
I mean?
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then like my sister Rita, she, when she sews, you know, it just, the linen just tears her machine up.
Oh.
So, you know, and she has been told by some people that some machines could handle it if you use just separate bobbin for linen. So, you know, we're just telling everyone out there, make sure you test and know what your machine can handle, because practically it may be that you really need to use cotton, red, 100% cotton, red, so that you can keep Torah. And then, you know, there's those that, you know, we are living in transition and captivity. And if you want to do some fancy embroidery and you don't want to use more of the dull linen, cotton thread, mm-hmm. and you might want that shiny, pretty look, because we do have some items like that that I just haven't gotten on the internet. But, you know, you can make some really beautiful stuff with embroidery on linen, but it's got polycotton thread. And then some believe that, you know, it's just not strong enough, and that's what they opt for. So you got any more tips there? And I do. I use a top stitch needle on my machine so that the slubs go through it. And you can't sew really fast if you're going to do linen thread.
That's true. And when you talk about embroidery, I don't know if you know, but I can order actually from it's joanne.com. Online, they have linen embroidery thread.
And oh, no, beautiful. I did not know that.
It's beautiful, yes, yes. So
you'll
I have
to send that link to me or let me know exactly what that is, because that was really cool. Now, we have a guest that will be coming on in a couple of weeks, and Aaron and Trish Liu, and they have he went from the regular linen thread that we sell to the lace making. He says it goes through the machine a lot. You know, a lot easier. So there might be a trade-off maybe in strength, but, you know, and then we also have the linen that you can tie. And of course we've got kosher.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
So you gotta figure that out, but that would be good. And you know, this is some of the things that I hope that we could share. Because when people come to Torah and they understand that it's not just about what we eat and how we live, it's also about how we dress and how Father wants us to be blessed, benefited from what we wear, that we need to share these ideas. And I think it's wonderful, because everyone that I'll be interviewing, they all have a special niche and a special way and a special touch. Some of us might make or provide the same items, but they're all different and unique.
Yes, they are. Mm-hmm.
The way they do it. And not only that, as you know, as the nation of Israel from the four corners of the earth grows in restoration, we really want to encourage people. There's not going to be enough people to make what everybody needs.
Right.
And we need to restore the desire to knit and to sew and to, you know, weave. Mm-hmm. We've got a wonderful lady up here who weaves beautiful scarves and is learning to do that and perfect that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, and the reason why, if people don't understand that, is because, you know, they're just used to buying and they're not used to growing the flax or growing the wool and processing it. Is because if you really want to live a set-apart life, if you want to produce things in a set-apart way, the companies and powers to be out there are not going to provide this for you.
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. We're going to have to do it ourselves. Absolutely.
I mean, it's hard now. You can't walk into just any yarn store or a sewing store and find 100% wool or 100% linen thread.
No,
or
you can't. That's right.
You know?
That's right. You can't. Yeah, I've been finding all of mine online through eBay. There's a few people there. So if anybody's looking for linen yarn, just put 100% linen in the search on eBay, and they bring up some pretty good people that I've been working with now for about a year and a half or so. And the yarns come in so many different weights. I have everything from, you know, very, very, very fine lace weight to, I think the hats that you got from me at Sukkot were heavier yarn, just nice, nice heavy yarn. So, but I haven't been able to find any more of that. So if anybody knows where I can find it, I would be most happy to know that. So.
Yeah, and you know, we had Luette yarn.
Mm-hmm.
On our side,
yes.
But we've been having a hard time. I could still order it, I could special order it for people, but they just take, sometimes they don't have their products for a month. And so
that was why I
stopped just putting it on the site.
Yeah, yeah, and that's kind of what prompted me to go looking elsewhere when it was so hard for you to get it. But they have sport weight and lace weight and everything in between. So, yeah, yeah.
All right.
But
well, let's take a quick break.
Great.
You're listening to Remnant Radio Show on Messianic Lam Radio, presenting a lifestyle filled with hope.
Join James and Gail O'Hare with Israel My Delight each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Central on Messianic Lam Radio, promoting a lifestyle of hope.
Are you wearing your linens today? It is the fabric choice of Yahweh. It will shield you from harm and rays and keep you cool and dry night and day.
Spring has sprung. Birds chirping, blooming flowers, fresh breezes, and spring cleaning, along with fresh white linen sheets, are in the air. Linen has its own life-giving frequencies, which reflect light. Yahweh has shown us in His Word and in the Mishkan in the wilderness the pattern for veiling or clothing the set-apart place, the Holy of Holies. As His set-apart people, His living stones, Father wants to restore to us the lost treasures of Israel, including His Moedim, His pure language, Shemen, essential oils, and Sheish, linen. Since we spend at least one-third of our life in restorative sleep, a good place to start with having linen in your life is with white, pure linen sheets. Consider linen sheets as part of the restoration process of transitioning back to wearing linen for your health, available at Remnant Remedy. Also available are linen headband coverings, hand-woven linen scarves, linen garments, linen thread, and linen yarn for your own personal sewing projects. For more information, go to messianicdirectory.info and click on Remnant Remedy.
And now let's rejoin the hosts of Remnant Radio here on Lam Radio, where the focus is on a lifestyle of hope.
Well, welcome back. And that was wonderful, Rita, singing that song. Remember her when she sang that at She Wrote?
Yes, I do. Well, it was wonderful.
It was actually a different song, but she wrote she did that song too. She does the Preparing the Bride song. Awesome.
Yeah, I really enjoyed her.
Now we have Cindy Sue or Cynthia Heath from Salem, Oregon, from CoveredInLinen.com, and she makes wonderful linen, cotton, and hemp items. And so let's talk a little about what are some of your favorite insights or scriptural, spiritual, physical kinds of things that when you think about linen.
Yeah, let's see. I like the fact that it's warm, and you know when you need the warmth, and it's cool when you need the cool. It just seems to automatically adjust at times. I don't know how Father's done that, but it seems to keep you warm when you need to be warm and cool when you need to be cool.
Well, Well, you know, if you think about it, linen, the flax has silica in it, from what I understand. And so isn't silica what we make glass from? And glass can be warm, right? Or it can be cool. Mm-hmm. And I know some people say, well, they're cold in the wintertime. I'm like, well, they are when you first get on them, if they're in a clean, you know, a cold room. But once you get in them, they insulate your heat around you. They do keep you warm.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. Well, it's a plant, the flax plant. And flax is way stronger than cotton. And it, you know, I like the fact that it wicks the perspiration. I'm of a certain age, and I seem to always be perspiring. And so I like
hot,
it that
cold,
way.
Hot, cold. Yeah.
Well, it's mostly hot. So, yeah, mostly hot. But I like the fact that it absorbs moisture. I wear linen fabric snoods when I work, and I take care of elderly people, and sometimes the work is a little bit physical, and I perspire around my face, and it just feels so good to have it on my head. So,
you know, I've seen some men who really love to wear the linen headbands because it, you know, they sweat profusely, especially sometimes when they're out doing lawn work or something like that, so they just use it to soak up that moisture.
Yeah, yeah. I've
not
had
just the
wimp. Right. And I've made several linen kippas for some local teachers here. And I can make them out of different weights of linen, so depending on what they like. Mm-hmm. But kippas and caps, something that's, you know, longer than a kippa. And then just regular hats. But let's see.
Well, let's talk a little bit about the weight. You know, what are we talking about? Like, we're starting at what, handkerchief type of thing, light, lacy stuff, to what, rusty,
well,
durable stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly. But well, with the fabrics, yes, I have like handkerchief weight fabric, and but the majority of the things that I make are of a medium weight. And it's very nice. It's not too heavy, but it's not too light. It's not, you can't really see through it. And it's very soft, and it just is, feels good on you. But with the threads, the yarns and threads that I have, I have some that's very, very fine. I made some beard nets for a man that I met at Sukkot who had a business. And it was food related, and he wanted to keep his beard hair out of his product. And so I came home from Sukkot and sat down and said, okay, Father, here's my hands. He wants this, and I've never made one, so let's see. And I got the notes I got back from him. He said they worked perfectly. They were great. So, but they were very fine. And then, you know, up from there, I have some lacier weight, linen thread that has kind of the slubby, texture to it, and others that's very fine. Some of it feels like other kinds of, yarns that you would buy, you know, the acrylic, the mixes of threads, and it's just as soft and just as strong. Or stronger, I should say, up to the much heavier. Maybe some of the ladies out there would know, you know, kind of a bulky weight or a chunky weight yarn is what I made quite a few hats out of, and those are all gone now. And that's the yarn that I'm having a hard time finding again. So, there's just all weights.
So, you know, to keep in mind for those who are listening, you can custom make a lot of things that people might want, like
absolutely.
The beard, you know, the beard net. That's an awesome idea. But I mean, even, you know, they could pick or choose.
Colors.
What they need, yes. You know, color, size, whatever
yes,
they need.
Absolutely.
You could work with them on that.
Absolutely. And I love to do that.
You know, and some people just say, oh, linen feels wonderful. And then others, you know, say, it's a little bit rough. And you know, depending on what it is, it could be, but one thing to remember is the more you wash it,
yes,
the softer it gets.
Softer.
And linen, you know, if properly taken care of, you know, just like antique linen, can last a very long, long time. We're talking a lot longer than some cottons and, you know, artificial fabric, basically. I can't remember. I get them confused for some reason, but it was either Napoleon or Alexander the Great that, I don't know, there's two different time periods, but I remember studying one time that they believe they actually won, and I want to say it was Alexander, they actually won and conquered because they got rid of some of the mail, the metal mail, the heavy mail that they wore for armor, and they made what was called a little thorax, which was several layers of linen that they glued together. And you can actually Google that. And a university here somewhere in the United States actually did a test on that and was testing shooting arrows and stuff. And so they were saying, you know, it just made it so much easier for them with the weight in battle.
Right.
And so it can be very durable. We got to remember the Pilgrims, the Puritans, the, you know, the Europeans. They lived off of this when it was very durable. It wasn't always the thin, lacy stuff. That was for the, you know, most of the rich.
Right.
But yeah, it was very, very durable. And it was actually the cotton gin that pretty much took linen off the market for a while.
Yeah, yeah, I believe that.
Because it takes a while to process the stuff.
I believe that. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so you were going on your list here. I didn't want to slow you down too much.
That's all right. That's all right. Let's see.
So we know it keeps you cooler.
Yeah.
And they've supposedly done some testing, and I'm working on getting this information cited because a lot of times we find this. Sometimes it's linen manufacturers and stuff, but they've supposedly done some tests where people are actually cooler in hot weather. Of course, popular in the South American countries too.
Right. And I like the fact that it's one of the properties is about linen is it's antibacterial, hypoallergenic. So I, you know, it really all comes back to Father. Father knows best. You know, he's commanded us to wear linen. And I mean, he knows what it is and he made it and it's good for us and it just makes sense to me, you know, that I understand that there's, you know, tests have been done and some research, and I probably read it from something that you printed, but that patients that are bedridden don't develop bed sores when they use linen sheets, and that's kind of home for me because I do take care of elderly people, and I do see those kinds of things. So linen is just a wonder. A wonder fiber, I guess, or wonder fabric, or
I've never been able to find the original source, but I believe that was supposedly from a Japanese study. And you know, in China and Japan and those areas, they use a lot more linen than we do.
Yeah,
depending on the situation.
I know that it's used to filter and protect against chemical mediums and noise and dust, and you know, so it would be it's beneficial to sensitive skin, people with, you know, asthma and respiratory problems and that kind of thing. It's just very healthful. I just don't understand why everybody isn't as passionate about it as I am.
Well, you know, one of the reasons is the wrinkles, but, you know, it's really not that hard to work with. And, you know, again, just because I do want to give credit where credit's due, I believe some of this information that we find on the internet came from Heidi Yellen. But again, when I've read some of her stuff, I don't see the sources. So I don't know if it's, you know, if anyone, you know, has this information. I have seen some of the linen manufacturers, but others, you know, I just don't see the original source. So, you know, but these are the things. And I mean, and this is known. I mean, these aren't, some of this is common stuff that, you know, that people that deal with fabrics and stuff know this. And because it can breathe, and, you know, there have been studies with scientists and some references, like in Hiroshima, you know, when, you know, radiation and things like that. So, And burn victims. I was at, and I really encourage people, there's an awesome testimony on, I think it's called the goldenreport.com, where Jerry Golden, you know, has an incredible testimony, particularly when he was burnt, almost, I forget, a huge percentage of his body. And if you notice in there, he left the hospital wrapped in linen. You know, so the hospitals know this, and they do use them in sutures. Mm-hmm. So,
bandage dressings, and let's see, there was something else that I had seen like that about sutures.
Yeah, that they supposedly mm-hmm. dissolve and are very compatible with the mm-hmm. human body.
Yeah,
and you know, also when you look at the cross cut of flat, it. Is very interesting. It looks like the iris of an eye.
Yes, yes. I was just going to bring that up. Yes, yes. It looks like
now. I actually found that when I was studying and trying to find. I did the Rebuilding the Living Stones Tabernacle series, and one of them is on how I found iridology in the Hebrew and the scriptures. Mm. And mm-hmm. I was looking at the flax plant when I was studying in this book, and it showed the iris. You know, and it was just like mm-hmm. wow. You know, mm-hmm. Well, just that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, that's Abba's hand. Yeah. Yeah. So. That's his hand in everything. Yeah. Yeah. So.
And of course, bandages is the incredible mm-hmm. use. And we see that in scripture where they would have, you know, the Kohen may have wrapped diseases or leprosy in bandages that could have been linen. And look and, you know, check it in so many days to make sure whether mm-hmm. or not it's progressing. So that's definitely scripture.
Right, right. So it's good for us to, you know, sleep on linen sheets and have everything that touches our body be made of linen.
So, and, you know, and I love, you don't waste linen if you use scrap.
Not at all. No, not at all. I use every little piece in you something. Uh-huh. I've been making some jewelry pieces and using linen in my jewelry. So
linen butt, you know. Strain your cheeses, and when you make soap, and you know, bandages. A lot of times, you know, store bought plastic type bandages they store or keep in bacteria and moisture too much, and some people are allergic to them. Right. So I love to use essential oils and bandages of linen. And so again, there's hardly ever a waste. I've even seen Rita when she makes the sheets. Set. Sometimes she will take strips of linen and use it as a tie, like, you know, a rope and tie a package.
Oh, yes, of course. Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I try to use every little piece that I have. So find all kinds of uses for them.
You can even use it to stuff a pillow or something. Or a pillow.
Well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to start keeping my lint, my dryer lint.
Probably
that's
do that
such a great idea. Yes. So, yes, it's a great idea.
Let's talk about the color white, because now this was a piece of work that I did different studies from other places, but one of them was Heidi Yellen. So she did a thing called the Black Lie or something, and mm-hmm. she had cited some things about how they had done testing with people that were black versus mm-hmm. white. And you know, if you think about it, in the old days, what did nurses wear?
White.
Doctors wore mm-hmm. white, you know, and mm-hmm. you have to ask yourself, how did that start? I mean, obviously, it was probably for cleanliness to show whether they were clean or not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have cooks and chefs, right, that mm-hmm. wear the white hats and the white aprons to show that, you know, they're being clean. But when we look at the color white, and these are things that Father has shown me, that it is actually, when we look at white, we need to think about all the beautiful colors of the rainbow are there in perfect unity. And that is white.
Mm-hmm.
So we do encourage, because of the studies on energy, that, you know, you do wear white. That doesn't mean you can't wear any other color.
Right.
But really consider black, because spiritually there may be something to it. I know for me personally, mm-hmm. when Father delivered me of many things from my past, because I was the lady in black.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when I look at what Father's done in my life and how he's cleaned me up And I, you know, my goal was to be on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine and be the blonde in black velvet to the woman who's walking around in white and really seeking him and wanting to walk in modesty. Mm. I mean, Father can do some amazing things, and I think he has just a huge sense of humor to use someone like me to do this.
Sometimes I can picture him slapping his knee and saying, and laughing to himself and saying, "Oh, my child, when will you ever learn?"
Absolutely.
Yes.
So we'll be right back. We got one more commercial, set of commercials. We'll be right back from Salem.
You're listening to Remnant Radio Show on Messianic Lamb Radio, presenting a lifestyle filled with hope.
Join Hope Egan with Life and Hope and Friends on Saturday at 9 p.m. on Messianic Lamb Radio, promoting a lifestyle of hope.
Come visit us at Remnant Remedy and see what's new. We are now premiering Shoshana's used traditional linen garments. This is an inexpensive way to convert your wardrobe from dreary, man-made, static-causing, and sometimes petroleum-based fibers that may be harmful for your health to linen with its life-giving properties. We also have linen headbands, embroidered menorah tallit scarves, pajamas, and nightgowns that may be used as nightwear, daywear, or under or over garments along with linen bathrobes. Register at Remnant Remedy to receive special sales and previews to upcoming products, teachings, and events, and then be sure to register for our Remnant Remedy newsletter. For more information, visit us at www.remnantremedy.net.
To Remnant Radio on Lamb Radio, which promotes the Messianic lifestyle, a lifestyle of hope.
All right, I hit the beat there. I always beat it because I don't see it in the queue. Sorry about that, Mark. So we are here at Remnant Radio, and we have our special guest, Cynthia Heath from Salem, Oregon, and she has a website called coveredinlinen.com, and there's a lot of things that she has and that she can provide. And so, you know, make sure that you can contact her. And Cynthia, you want to give out your information again, because I know that you have so much to offer and it's not on your website yet.
Yes, yes. Phone number, 503-884-0482. That's 503-884-0482. And it's coveredinlinen.com. Cynthia, C-Y-N-T-H-I-A, at coveredinlinen.com.
All right.
Yes.
And make sure you check her out. So also, for those who are interested, we just released the Remnant Ramblings newsletter a few days ago, and it is all about linen lovers. It has the schedule for the linen lovers radio shows we have. I put several articles in there on linen, and hopefully, Father will, in the next month or two, I will release an overview from a book that I'm writing, and parts of that has been excerpted and put in Halissa Allewine's fifth upcoming Torah teaching book. So I was really blessed to be able to provide that. Because I have been actually doing this since 2007, building up information and studying. And, you know, I'm just so thrilled that the day has come that we have people to promote in cottage industries and ministries like Cynthia.
Yes, yes, so, I really appreciate it.
Cynthia, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, why do you think linen is so important to embrace it, or to at least, you know, give it more than just a casual glance in the scriptures?
Oh, golly, lots of reasons. And I think we talked about some of them, you know, as far as the properties of linen and what it can do, but also just simply the fact that Father has commanded us to wear linen. I guess I'm searching for words. I don't know if I.
Well, you know, some people would say that's an absurd statement. You know what I mean? I've heard that argument before. Now, he did say we could wear wool or we could wear, leather and things like that. But it is very clear if you will spend a day or two from Genesis to Revelation and look up every verse that has to do with flax and linen and the bride and, every time he got ready to promote his people, either to a wedding or to an elevation of rulership, they were given gold and linen. And those are some of the things that I'm going to cover. I mean, it is there. And it's, the angels or messengers that are dealing with the plague during the tribulation, what do they have on? They have on linen.
Yes.
And
yes.
We know that linen is great, in the area of antibacterial and viral. And so it just makes sense that they're wearing linen.
Absolutely.
And we have revelations, right, that says the righteousness of the saints. And yet, if we looked up that word in the Greek, it means ordinance or statute.
Mm-hmm.
It's definitely the material for the bride.
Right. Right.
And I think when we study the Torah and we study Hebrew, coming out of the Christian mindset only, that we realize it's not about just spiritualizing it and it's, the purity of our hearts and our souls and our spirits, but it's, he has a physical application for most everything in scripture for us.
Right,
he's
right.
Multidimensional.
Yes, absolutely.
And that way in his word for us.
Yes, yes. Yes.
Again, how has this, how has linen changed your life? Are you incorporating in your personal life?
Yes.
Your business, ministry, tell us more about all the things and how it's kind of changed your little world.
Well, I'm wearing it.
So,
and I'm using it and I'm working with it and, it's just become very much a part of my life. Although I don't wear linen 100% of the time, when I do, it's so nice. It's just wonderful fabric. Like I said earlier, when I work, I wear linen head coverings. I have linen prayer shawl that I use in my prayer time. It's just.
Yeah.
All of it, the whole.
The love for it. Yeah,
absolutely. There's just a.
And it's just a spiritual connection with the physical use of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And again, I try to wear linen as much as possible. Sometimes it's not practical.
Right.
Because we don't have, for instance, in the wintertime or if I'm out hunting, I wear as much linen as I can. But, a lot of the things that we need to wear, depending on our environment, it's just not available.
Right.
You can't even get 100% wool socks anymore if you don't knit them,
Yes, yes. And speaking of wool, I've just finished several, I think about a dozen, felted wool hats. I tried that for the very first time and they've turned out kind of cute. So I'm going to be selling those as well.
So, that's awesome. And again, one of the things I like is that you do so many different things that, with the arts of sewing and knitting. Well, do you knit that much, but it's mostly crochet?
I don't. It's crochet. Yeah. Yeah.
But you could have fooled me a couple of times. It looked good to me. But,
yeah. No, you don't want me to knit anything. Yeah. My bath mitts.
That's right. You have bath mitts. I have used them as promos to give to people when they order the kits. I never put them on the website, but I purchased them from you because I was giving them as a gift to people who ordered first aid kits and things like that of essential oils.
Oh,
and so basically that bath mitt you put on your hand, right? You can put your homemade soap or whatever, massage your skin and wash your skin, which says she's got wonderful hand mitts. Made out of linen. I see them sometimes made out of hemp in the health food stores, but I love using the mittens made out of linen.
Yeah, so, and they get softer when you use them.
And you got the Nidah pads, and you got the kippahs and the snoods and the hats, and you you could sew the clothing. You know, you guys need to check her out if you want to get some kind of, you know, set apart wardrobe going there.
Yeah, and I'm just now starting. I'm working on some linen, crocheted linen prayer shawls, and the patterns that I have are very beautiful. So I'm really excited about getting those made. So I have those
available. Right. And you can have scarves, headscarves, headbands, like that, right?
Absolutely. Yeah,
pants,
your imagination.
Nightgowns, pajamas.
Yes. Just about anything you want. But you know what, Nisa, my heart is kind of with, as far as the clothing goes, I've noticed that when I go to different places or to secondhand stores that the used linen garments that you find are all kind of smaller sizes.
And some of them are really tiny.
Yes.
I mean, I'm talking 0, 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yes, exactly. And so I'm a plus size lady, and I decided that my heart kind of leads me in that direction when it comes to clothing. I would like to be a resource for some of our plus size sisters and brothers to have linen items. And so I have lots of patterns and lots of ideas, and although I don't object at all to making them in those small sizes, but my heart's kind of with the plus size. So
because it is harder to find items that fit nicely.
Yes,
and some people purposely want larger stuff because they wear layers of linen.
Yes, absolutely.
So that's definitely. So we have about 3 minutes left. And so, again, everyone go to coveredinlinen.com or you can call Cynthia at 503-884-0482. And just with the few minutes that we have left, we want to share how it was that you kind of came into Torah Rivers.
I would love to. It's really a very long story, but I'll give you the short version of it. I was on my way to work one day, and I switched my radio station on, and it didn't come in, the FM station I was listening to. And so I switched it over to AM, and it sounded, instead of what I was used to, a Christian music station, it sounded like a talk radio station. And I thought, well, what is this? So I started listening, and oh my goodness, I couldn't turn it off. So I was very much captivated by what I heard. I'd never heard that the Old Testament was still valid. I'd never heard that God's commandments still applied, at least not to me. I'm not Jewish, and therefore I wasn't bound by all those laws. And so, but the Ruach Holy Spirit did a work in me, and I will always be so thankful for that radio station. And I began listening and learning, and then found a fellowship, and that's led me to Restoration Fellowship. And the radio station I found was Hebrew Nation Radio Station.
Right, and which that's their KPJC 1220 in Salem, right? So they're not just on their internet. They're actually an AM station right there in that area where you're at.
Yes, and it's wonderful. So I learned that God had a name, and that Jesus wasn't his name. That Yeshua was what he heard his mama call him. So, so it just all fits now. I still have a lot to learn, and I make mistakes, you know. But Father is faithful to forgive when I stumble or fall, and all I have to do is ask him in the name of Yeshua, my Messiah, you know, for forgiveness, and get up and keep going on. So really it was the radio station that got me. It really was.
That's awesome. Yeah. So see what you're responsible for over there at Hebrew Nation.
Yes.
And, you know, if it wasn't for Hebrew Nation, I wouldn't be probably here with Messianic Lamb Radio, because I have radio shows on both radio stations. I think they both serve a very important niche and need. They both offer hope and restoration and knowledge and information and great teachers and ideas.
Yes.
You know, Messianic Lamb Radio has just been awesome, and so has Hebrew Nation. And, you know, some people say they're, you know, why do we need them? Well, because there's so many of us, and there's so much to learn in different facets of learning from different teachers. And, you know, what might reach one person might not reach another, you know.
That's right. Yeah.
Not everyone's going to receive a Michael Rood, but they might receive a Jim Daly or an Eddie Chumney or, you know, Rico Cortez or, you know, Posey or Nietzsche or whatever, you know.
Or David Matthews even.
Yes, David Matthews.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, yes. Incredible. And, you know, we just got all these fabulous people that Father's been training and preparing for years, and now here we are. So,
yeah.
Well,
we
thank
are.
You so yes. much, Cynthia. Yeah. I really appreciate you being here. And again, go to coveredinlinen.com and be with us, please, next week as we interview Rosemary Norton from Linen for Life and Kelly Ferrari Mills from Doorkeeper Ministry. And so thank you all for being with us. May your garments always be white and let your head lack no shimmer. Shalom. Goodbye.
Shalom.